Who would have ever known that we'd all be in this spot right now, dealing with something that almost came out of thin air, in a sense, as the saying would go? Who'd known that we'd have to deal with this? But based on so many things that have taken place in the past, I know since I've come into the church, and maybe yourselves as well, as we kind of take a look at this, to wonder about some of these things and to wonder the effect it might have on the church, which I had a feeling it would have an effect, just because of the media that's out there, the places that you can go and find information. This is certainly an information age, where it says in Daniel chapter 12, it says knowledge will be increased. But did you ever wonder what kind of knowledge that will be? There's a lot of very good knowledge, but as you know, there's a lot of bad knowledge as well. Some knowledge has caused a lot of people to suffer, especially when you deal with the medical industry. That certainly is something that's unpredictable. I've come to the conclusion that it takes probably more faith to go to a doctor because you never really know the outcome. And certainly when we pray before God and we ask for His intervention, sometimes we don't always know what God's going to do. We assume, I hope, that He's going to heal us. But it may not be right at this moment. It may take a while. Whoever knows what God allows us to go through. That certainly doesn't take away the fact that He is our healer. But I know sometimes more problems that it's caused people in the church because they've chosen to go the medical route. I know a lot of people that have mentioned to me, I wish I would have never done that. And I certainly had my question marks when I went in just for my minor surgery, and I made it a point to let Him know that God is my healer. And of course, He said, well, sure, of course He is. He did believe that God's the healer. And I respect, you know, a doctor that would say that, you know, I can try to fix the problem, but God heals. That's the guy I'd want to see, that he knows that God's going to heal. We can go in for corrective things, and of course, we know it's a personal matter. But we've seen a long time, from what I've heard from people that have been around for a long time, is that for a while there, it seemed like we would say that it was a sin to go to a doctor. And then all of a sudden, that goes all, the pendulum switches over the other way, and sometimes that's going to be the first choice that some people will make. There's too much trust in the medical industry. It's very difficult sometimes to come to that balance. But I do know this, being in the church for as short of a time in a sense, if you want to look at, I don't even know the time now, adding it up, maybe 40 years I think it's been, maybe over, to see some of the things that have transpired. The one thing I have seen in the past, I never knew the attacks that would really come upon God's church. Because when I first came and started learning about the truth within the Bible, to see some of the things such as the knowledge of the identity of God, that was a huge one. To see how many people are deceived today just on the identity of God, of knowing who He was. I did pray, as I mentioned before. I prayed to God. I prayed to God when I was with another denomination. I did believe that there was a God. I believed that there was a Father, because I did all those prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. I did those faithfully every evening. Either my parents came in, one of them, we got down on our knees, and I said the prayers. So I knew I was praying to God. I know the difference. I certainly wasn't praying to Satan, because I knew there was a bad guy too. I knew there was an evil being. So I did know that. So when I came to that determination, after I found out what the truth was, I go, you know, I prayed to God, but now I pray to a Father that I know a lot better. And it's always only because He revealed Himself to me. So that's part of the identity, because no one can come to the Father, as you know that. We know about that relationship. I did know about Jesus. And most of the Christian world today knows about Jesus. It's huge to them. And that's why I let them know in the discussion, oh, we think Jesus is absolutely a critical part of our belief. And we start that out with the Passover. But not many people really know about the Father, because God hasn't called them to understand that. That's an important part of what we came to believe. Then the next part was a purpose, that we actually are called for a specific purpose. So when I bring up something like the millennium, or you tell any of the other Christian world about a millennium, they might think that there's a 1,000-year period, but they have no idea what's going on. Even we don't know every detail, but I do know that the people that are being called now, called first fruits, are being prepared to do something. Not that we just end the millennium and we put our angel wings on, like some think, and we go about playing our harps and kind of wandering all over doing whatever we want. You know, that's you break that down to even our camps. It's so interesting that I've looked at some other camp programs when I visited some places that have other camps. And basically, as a camper, you can kind of sign up wherever you want to go and just, boom, you're gone. And then maybe come back with your colleagues to eat or whatever. But it's not as structured of a camp as we have within our program. They know what they're going to do. There's a purpose. We're going to teach them a principle. And our first major thing is for them to have an absolute blast, but introduce, also make them understand, or help them to understand, not make them certainly, but help them to understand that God is here with us and we're learning and growing together, and we're going to learn some things this year and have a blast in doing it. If we can accomplish that purpose and help and build the friendships between friends and between staff and the camaraderie and the Church of God, then that's what we're seeking to do. But on a church-wide level, to understand and to know the purpose of God on what we're going, and to have that renewed every year. As we approach Pentecost, we understand the concept. It's just not some kind of church holy day without any purpose or knowledge to it. Then we come to the knowledge of the plan of salvation that's revealed. We call it the plan of salvation, although you can't really find that in the Bible. It doesn't say plan of salvation. But when you put these together, and you look at the scriptures and you put the Bible together, you can see what God is doing. And that was challenged. That was challenged. Believe it or not, there are people, and a lot of people, if you remember, if you were, I'll go all the way back to the battles that we had, by the way, since 97. It wasn't 1995. Some think it was 95. Well, a lot of people left before that. A lot of people left before 92. So right around 1987, referring to Jesus Christ as well, because when Christ was smitten, the sheep scattered too then, at that time, before they were brought together by his Spirit at the day of Pentecost. But when we kind of had a shepherd as well, certainly not the chief shepherd, but one that God used instrumentally to reveal some of this knowledge here, you know, when he was smitten, the sheep scattered too, didn't they? Look what happened. Somebody new came in and did not teach the same things. And what some didn't know, do you know what the first doctrine that was attacked? It wasn't the Sabbath. It wasn't the holy days. It was healing. That Christ sacrificed, some of you may not have gotten the information, but it was going out that Christ sacrificed really wasn't that important for our physical. That was more focused on the spiritual. And I saw the result of that. People questioning whether God heals anymore. Do people still to this day have a question to whether God heals? The testing is still there. Is the faith lacking? I feel it's done tremendous damage to the Church of God since 1987, to the point where people might not even realize how much it's affected them. No, we don't believe that doctors are a sin or going to the medical or using that. Sometimes they can do fascinating things. But also when you focus on them as though that's where your delivery is going to be, it gets pretty dangerous there. And a lot of people without research have just taken whatever their doctor says. And even the world today will say, get a second opinion. Get another opinion. One of the major causes of death, not only in the U.S., but throughout the world, is, you know what? Not heart disease, not cancer, medical error. Huge. Do not people stop to take a look at that? Do you ever see how many hospitals that they're building out there? They keep building bigger ones. More clinics. More specific clinics to target specific things of names that we've never heard before. They're just naming things now. You know what's depressing? They're filled. They're all filled. You try to find a parking place, sometimes you can't. And don't people ask, What's wrong? What's happening? And we can trace it down to certain things. We know our soil is being depleted. We do know that. Is there anything we can do about that? People go, oh, you know, organic, it's expensive. And no, I don't know all the data on that because it can be misrepresented. Sometimes you can get organic and it's not necessarily organic because of all the lies that are being told. It's hard to know even who to believe. But it shouldn't stop us from trying to do our best at researching and praying about it. Doesn't God at least expect us to do that rather than just taking somebody's word for it? I don't like to take anybody's word for it in this world anymore because it's producing too much damage. I'd like to go to God and ask Him, show me, guide me, give me the wisdom that I need because this stuff comes upon us so suddenly. And it's even damaged the church. Because haven't you asked that question? With the knowledge that God's given us on His laws of clean and unclean, on health, why are the people in the church sick? So much sickness going on. I can't point that out specifically, but, you know, if something is going wrong in my life, I'd like to figure out what is it and try to get it fixed without getting a shot, without taking a pill. In fact, they're perplexed. I feel very blessed to go in and they're reading my chart. Have you ever had this? Do you take any of this? No, I don't. Who's your primary doctor? I don't have one. My chiropractor? I'm very grateful for that. But it perplexes them. What? You don't take anything? And there are a lot of people that don't. And that's a good thing. Sometimes people may have the need. I remember when my grandfather got congestive heart failure. I got that. You know, at his age, you can't replace a heart. Not at that age, not 94 years old, you're not going to go through that. So my mom had to give him some medication to pull the fluid off the heart, which worked, and she would pare. I'd noticed that mom pared that back. She would cut it in half. Is he still doing okay at half? Yes, because obviously when you take any medications, that's going to tax your liver. And some people's livers get shot because of all the medications they take. So it's sometimes just doing some simple research to be careful on what you're taking into your body, but it's specifically a relationship between God that we need to have and for us to strengthen our faith to know ultimately He's the healer. He's going to heal us, whether it's now or later when you get your brand new body, but that doesn't take away from the fact that He does heal, still does today. So all these things were being challenged. And just as I mentioned before that Satan was so smooth, such a salesperson, that he took a third of the angels, sometimes I don't know if we stop and think about that before this all started. Because of what was mentioned, that really made an impression on me when I saw that he was, it doesn't say salesperson, but it says he was a merchandising. He was merchandising. He was selling his goods. Not physical ones. He was selling his idea on the way it should be. And the fascinating thing is, a third of them bought it. A third of the angelic realm. How many people bought the other sales approach back in 1987, 88, 89, when slowly these things started trickling in? Sometimes it depended on who your pastor was. You might have had a very faithful pastor that challenged these things, as my father-in-law did. And got in trouble for challenging because the pattern was going that way. The sales tactics were pretty good, unless somebody was really watching. Well, didn't he say this before? Yeah, I think he did. Well, we're not changing any of that thing. No, you were changing it, and you did know about it, which made you a liar. And that's definitely one of Satan's tactics. So it was a process that most of the church as a whole at that time bought it. Some people wondered if there was just a remnant that were left after all was said and done. Some people's faith was so attacked that some took a while and some thankfully have come back, have returned. Because it was so hard to believe that that could actually happen in God's church. Many would say, well, that will never happen in God's church. Another learning process, wasn't it? Oh, God will never forsake the corporate, the organization. didn't ever say that. He said his church would always exist. The gates of hell would never prevail against it. Not a corporate organization, the spiritual organism. Now, we've got that for those that can't got through that. We definitely understand that. And that was an awesome lesson for us to learn. We've grown. We know that a lot more. We've seen the tactics. Now, some have grown to put their guard up at any of that. See, the results of that have caused some problems as well. Because as I've mentioned to you, there's been ministers, myself, anyone else, because we're human beings as well and can make mistakes. But because of that, sometimes because of mistakes in decision making, whether you go back to look at a makeup issue, some will complain about all that and go, yeah, we made mistakes that time. Mr. Franks kind of headed it off by saying, look, he goes, we've had to make a decision, but I'll be the first one to admit it, a mistake. We're doing the best that we can do to come together to try to figure this out. And if you saw the church as a whole and the stance of the church as a whole, you'd be perplexed. Some that are way over here and some that are all the way over to this end as well. It's been very difficult, and it's perfect. A perfect for Satan to get in there. Let me stir it up. Let me get these two ends and kind of get them headbutt now. What a perfect time for him to merchandise his goods. Let's divide it more. And sometimes because of what's happened, as I've mentioned, how many fathers do we have out here that have made mistakes? All the fathers would raise their hand. Okay, no more fathers. Let's do away with fathers. So people have said, I'll never come together with a church organization because I don't trust you anymore. Wow, we've got some faithful people out there that believe in preaching a gospel and coming together collectively. And we know, again, one way to do it, not the only way, but a productive way, is to get together organized. So we can do certain things. Someone one time says, I never want to have anything to do with the organized religion anymore. And that feast, he came up to me and asked me for a feast excuse. I said, oh, so you believe in organized religion. So you want a feast excuse now. That's a corporate feast excuse. So look at the dichotomies that are out there and taking a look at this. It's not easy. And Satan is still aware and still selling his goods. Just in the past 20, 25 years, God's people have endured severe testing. It's called spiritual warfare, in which the validity of so many of our truths have been challenged. From the first fundamental change in the teaching of healing to a born-again issue to a kingdom of God is here now to the nature of God, the foundations of those who are not solidly based on the word of God have crumbled. And Paul pointed that out in Ephesians 6 for the equipment that we should be using called the armor of God. Many have lowered their shields, though, having given away to many faulty concepts and ideas and have been battered with the darts that Satan sends out there as a result of the shield not being its place. Let's talk about this concept today. Without it, we can't make it into the kingdom. There's other concepts as well that I said without this kind of attitude, without the attitude of humility, but certainly without faith, we can't be a part of this either. In Jude chapter 1, let's turn over here, Jude chapter 1. This is a letter sent out by Jude, the brother of James, it says in verse 1, to those who are set apart, that are sanctified by God the Father. See, once again, if you want to talk about the nature of God, there's so many beginnings of the messages of the letters that identify the nature of God right here. Just ask someone here, how do you get this? How do you get this? And there's no Holy Spirit. If you're considering that the Holy Spirit is the third person of what's called the Trinity, how do you get this? How do you leave the Holy Spirit out in so many places? Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are set apart, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Bingo, right there. So one of the foundations is we know about God's calling. We know that God calls. We know that most of the world isn't being called, therefore they're not being judged, but we are, as God gives us his understanding. And now a wonderful beginning here because just as Jesus Christ wanted peace to be among his people, even during the most tumultuous times, what are we facing in our lives? We know we're getting close, we just don't know how close. I remember looking back with a smile as, you know, it was the place of safety was big. You know, we were talking about Petra and Jordan, and, you know, I smile at that. I don't criticize anybody. I think we're obviously looking back. It's easy to see, being Monday morning quarterbacks, that we jumped the gun on that, because we all certainly thought that Christ would be here by 2000. Who thought 2000 would get here? That was the space odyssey. That was so far away. 25 years? Are you kidding me? Why? No way. Is 25 years going to come? Now it's almost 25 years after that. Look at how fast this has gone. Where are we going? What's happening? Just talking to some financial people. Because I'll just ask the question because I want to see the response. How do you invest? What do you invest in? Is the stock market a good investment? Keeps going up and up and up and up and up. Do you think at some point, it's going to come down? Some people will never think that it would ever, ever get to 20,000. Now my father-in-law predicted that. I think it's going to get to 20,000. I'm going to, well, we'll see. 20,000? How about 30,000? How about 40? Where's it going to go? Is this the good time now? Hey, you better put in right now. And then next week it tanks. How many thought 2008 was going to come? Wow, the timing on that. We just missed it. I know it was for a purpose. 2008, everything tanked. They were building all these homes in Atlanta, and I remember talking to my wife as we were looking for a house. Everything, the prices were skyrocketing, and they were building in Canton and Woodstock and Loganville, all surrounding Atlanta. And I go, where does everybody get the money to pay for these houses? Because they were all expensive houses, very expensive. How? Where do you get it? And all of a sudden, bam, it tanked. And all those people that got greedy and dealt out the fraudulent loans, specifically in Georgia, it was big time fraud. And the market just tanked. So they set some rules in order. Do you think that's fixed anything? I doubt it. There might be some wise builders that are out there that will build one house at a time, so they don't lose when it comes down next time. Is it going to come down next time? Yes. When is it? I don't know. Most of you probably remember this, that when everything's going to be worthless. Oh, by the way, listen to that radio program and all those commercials. I buy gold. My name is this person. Oh, he must know because he's a good actor. He's a very important actor, so he must know what he's talking about. Why don't we ever think about that? They get important actors or actors that you've known for a while that will support theirs. I'm kind of going, okay, they're getting paid for advertising your product. It's not that they're going, this is so great, I'll do this for free. I don't think so. So I have a tendency when somebody says buy gold to actually not buy gold, to not do it, because I just don't trust. We've been sold such a bill of goods. Who knows? What do you do? I don't know. I try to ask that financial advice. They don't know. When's it going to go down? So they say, be a steady plotter. I believe in that. You do the best that you can do and pray about it and ask God for wisdom. That's bottom line what I know. That would be my financial advice to you all. God, I wouldn't know where to go. I would just go, ask God. If you've got funds to invest, pray to God. Ask him to give you wisdom and then go for it. Don't bury it. I think he wants us to do something because it's not worth anything anyway. God says what? Do you own it? God says it all belongs to God. It's all his. If we have that in our minds, then we're going in the right direction. And that's where the belief and the faith comes in, is to totally trust God in every single thing that we do. So he says, mercy to you, peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence, verse 3, to write to you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write you and exhort you that you should earnestly, and look at the word, contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. So what was happening at that time? Same thing that happens in the church in the modern day time that makes this really come alive a lot more, because it's no different. The contending has to be there because you still have a Satan, the devil out there that's working his hardest to be able to sow discord and divide. And we've all seen the results of that. He's been pretty successful and he's not done. So how can we head this off at the pass? The faith which was once delivered to the saints. For there are certain men who crept in silently who were before of old ordained to this judgment, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lawlessness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They don't think they are. They profess Christ, but they don't really. It's all about grace, isn't it? So to a lot of this world, and that this could be to the churches of this world per se that believe in Jesus, but that sell the wrong message. They say, well, they'll tell you, well, you believe that you earn salvation. What would your answer be? I remember hearing that a long time ago when I was new in the church. There was a bill of goods that was attempted to be sold. Well, we always taught, in fact, people in the church would say that. We always taught that it was by works. I don't remember hearing that message. I remember hearing a message about doing what was good and doing what was right and obeying the Sabbath day and what God said to do or not to do even on the Sabbath. No, could you work on the Sabbath? No. Well, you said, see, you couldn't work on the Sabbath day. Well, of course I didn't say that. God did. God said, don't work on the Sabbath day. Well, you got to refrain from eating pork. All these things that you can do and you can't do. Well, that's not my rules. You know, it also says do not commit adultery. That's not my rule. That's God's rules. When it says live by every word of God, it's not just the Ten Commandments. And the world has trouble just doing 10. Besides the other things, the statutes that we follow as well. And these, again, are people that creep in, that profess that the ones that are member that are on the stage, that tells me right away when I see that. They make a big production out of it. Somebody comes up from the audience and says, do you believe like that? And they make the big thing. Oh, that's easy. That's kind of an easy one. What about if it's a nice guy that comes in that seems to be a converted man? As I remember from years ago, my mother-in-law and wife can attest to this, that there was a guy that gave great sermonettes in the church. This is years ago. And finally he told my father-in-law, I can't do it anymore. And he was stunned. Well, how come? You're such a good speaker and you give good topics. He goes, I don't believe it. What a jaw dropper. Yeah, there are people in that can sell the message that aren't the doers. They just don't have seen it. So you can creep in. That man at least was honest with his feelings. This has happened as well, and God has tested those to see whether they be of the faith or not. Verse 5, it says, I'll put you therefore in remembrance, though you once knew this. So that tells me what? They were forgetful. They were going back to that. So there had to be a reminder. So now we know why there's a reminder, and this is why I still urged the men for the leadership club. I remember some of those important, just in great principles that sometimes we can start to backslide. I remember the teaching that was there as far as, you know, just upping, so-called upping our game, you know, in presentations and the way that we do things and the way that we dress and look, so many good topics that we sharpened each other. And it's hard to now because it's harder to get together. How you knew this. How that the Lord, saving the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that did not believe. We might have taken a look at that through the season that we've just gone through, but do we see what they did? It's hard for me to imagine if God is leading us through out of Egypt. If I were one of those people to think about the miracles that God did bring us out, and we finally get out, and it came out with a high hand, and you saw the firstborn through Egypt dying as Moses has said that would happen, and it did happen. He's bringing you out, and there you get this pillar of fire. What'd that look like? And the cloud during the day, and it was there every single day, and then you get the manna. You get fed by God. And then he brings you through the Red Sea. And you see all these things. And then you doubt? Then you don't believe? What in the world happened there? And then you bring it up to our day and age today. And people that have come out, God's called, and miracles that happened for them to come out. I had a deacon talk to me some years ago. He shared with me a story about God brought him into the truth, and they used to keep the pagan days, and just was in wonderment at what God had done. And he's out. He's back to keeping the pagan days. So it tells me that was nothing new. And it was nothing new then. And it's nothing new now. It still happens. The faith of God's people can be challenged, and it works its way in, it creeps its way in, unless we're close to God and asking God to increase and strengthen our faith. In verse 6, it's a reminder here, the angels who kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He's reserved in everlasting chains under darkness to the judgment of the great day. In other words, they can't do anything without God saying it's okay. They're not free to go as they wish and do whatever they wish. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. This is a challenge, and it will be more of a challenge because we've had it so good in our country. And a lot of people, even outside the church, can see the danger of many of our freedoms being taken away. We've had wonderful freedoms because of the blessings of God. And those that, by the way, that when they came into this country, you call them our forefathers, they had a belief in God. I mean, I've got to give them that credit for believing in God. They did believe in God. They said, Thomas Jefferson, the Bible should be a part of the church, the educational system curriculum. The Ten Commandments of Moses are on our Supreme Court building. There was definitely belief in God, under God, one nation under God, indivisible. With God's help, we're leaving that. That's keeps going by the wayside all the time. So we're watching this being done, and sometimes we don't realize the effect that it's happening to us, because we still basically have our freedoms, and that's what's challenging God's people. Is it's getting so specific that some feel that the government is challenging our freedoms. I have the freedom to not wear a mask. Okay. Do you have the freedom to not wear a seatbelt? Yeah. Do you have a freedom not to stop at a stop sign? Do you have the freedom to not stop at a stoplight? What kind of freedoms are we talking about here? Because you can, but you'll get a ticket. If they spot you, you might be able to get away with it. But come on, let's step back and see what truth is. Really, the mask is the freedom that you're talking about? This is nothing compared to what's going to be happening in the future. And if we can't handle this one, then we're not going to do the harder ones that are going to come to pass as well. We have to watch and see what Satan is trying to do here and pray to God. And it says, strive for unity. Strive for peace. That tells me it's work, and it is. Romans 10, verse 8. What's it say? The word is close to you, even in your mouth and your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will believe in your heart, and will believe in your heart that God the Father raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Now that's not it, all of it, is it? It's easy to take that verse and go, see, that's it. No, you got to read the rest of the Bible. That's hugely a part of it, because remember, at that time, this is just not too long after Jesus Christ had been resurrected, and they're going after the people saying that didn't happen. They were saying, this is critical. That's why Paul said, I preach Christ and him crucified. He was preaching that for sure, because they were saying that didn't happen. That was a fundamental. But then they would say, by the way, let's grow. I got to tell you more. Just as we came to the church, I'm going, what about this and this? What about the rest? What about the rest of it? Remember that somebody came into the church and they would tell you about the tithe. Because that was no biggie for us, because we give offerings. But you wouldn't be so specific. as to now you're doing, how much is that? The tithe, that means tenth. And then they would kind of, after that you go, well, there's another one too. There's another one? Another 10%. What did that require? Faith. That required an element of faith to believe this is what God said. And then you found out why. And the why, I think, made it so much more easy, for sure. Because now that, by the way, that 10% is actually for you. And God's commanding that so you can go have a great time at his feast. And so a little while went longer and they go, by the way, I'm going to sneak this one in, but there's a third. A third? And so we had to deal with that based on what? As I said before, judgments have been made. There was a judgment recently that was made in the church for all the churches in Church of God Worldwide Association. A judgment that was made based on you had all of our board pray, even fast about it, and make a decision that we would like all of our churches to be in the spirit of unity, so we're all going to mask. And I've heard the murmuring. We're all descendants of Israelites, you know, the Israelites. So there was the murmuring. Well, who are they to tell us? Well, I'm going to go over here where they don't mask. We're here. And I go, oh, wow, the Israelite mentality is set in. And I was so glad to hear the other comments, you know, whatever, they'll wear a tutu to come to church. And I smiled at that and go, I'm going to come to church. I'm not going to let a mask take me out of God's church. Are you kidding me? And it was a judgment that was made. Well, who are they to make judgments? They're the leadership in God's church right now. And so I follow the judgments. So they make a judgment also on where the Feast of Tabernacles are going to be. That's a judgment too. And there was a judgment on third tithe. That we feel the government is pulling enough out of our paychecks now to cover the cost of what it would take to cover the widows. And if there's not enough throughout the government, then the church kicks in. It helps out, but our widows aren't going to go unhelped because God has established a system. So a judgment was made on that. And there are other judgments that are made in the church. Do we believe that God is still working within his church? Or that some kind of free-for-all? That there's your choice out there on where you want to go. There's about every flavor of the Church of God that you want out there. So it's a challenge today of what Satan is trying to do. So it's hard. We have to really, really work hard to preserve the bond of peace. Verse 16 of Romans 10, it says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, well, Lord, who has believed our preaching? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So God opens up our ears, as I always appreciate the prayers. God, open up our minds to understanding the words that are being spoken today. Help us in our listening and help us in our preaching today so we can come away with this stronger on this such important topic as well. To better understand this verse, let's reverse it. The word of God through hearing, through faith. And look at an example in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 27. So we're reading from the word of God, listening to it, and hopefully that is strengthening our faith. To take a look in each and every one of us individually, because that's where it's belong. Has our faith waned? Are we stronger or are we weaker? And hopefully we're stronger for it. Hopefully through the lessons that we've learned and through all the testimonies and examples, hopefully we are stronger. And I think in many areas we are. But there are probably no doubt areas because we're human beings as well that are lacking. Deuteronomy 5 verse 27, go and hear all the Lord our God will say and speak to us all the Lord our God will speak and we will hear it and do it. That's what the Israelites said to Moses. We'll hear it and do it. Verse 28, and the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of these people which they have spoken, and they have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there was such a herd in them that they would revere me and keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. But he knew that they weren't going to make it. And so he asked the question, why? Why did he do it in the first place? It's part of his plan. He knew it was going to happen. He knew when he put Adam and Eve in there that they weren't going to make it. That's why Christ was foreordained from the foundation of the world. It's a process that we could be strengthened by it, that we could see all these examples, that, and that we realize, by the way, that when we said I do and when you were baptized, there was a process to this by people that look into the baptism, the chronology of how you go through this, that God opens up your minds to see and believe just some things at first. And we grow and we commit to that. We say, I do. And then all of us realize, probably that have been baptized for long periods of time, to realize it's hard. It's hard to do it, isn't it? To be a Christian, it's hard. This is not easy. I mean, I'm grateful I'm not on the other path because the mistakes sometimes are incredibly costly. But even this path is not to, for the commands that are done there, strive for peace. It's hard to strive for peace and unity. Why do you think he's saying that? Because the need for peace and unity in the future is going to be huge. And we're going to teach this peace and unity for 1,000 years. And then guess what happens? Satan is released, and just like that, he goes and stirs up people just like that. That's how good he is. And we have to realize how good he is today as well, because we can be stirred up in the wrong way as well. Same thing. Oh, that there was such a hurt in them that they would revere me and keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children. I'm only looking for the good for these people. And they're so carnal because it's not in their heart. So they had the word of God spoken to them and they heard it, but they did not do it. Faith was a huge element that was lacking. And you would think they would have all the faith in the world. And they saw everything in the world. And that's why Christ said, you remember, blessed are those that haven't seen and believe. So there is an element there that's within us today. Because for those that have taken the Passover this year, there had to be a belief. There's got to be an element of faith there that you do believe in Christ, that we do need his sacrifice. And it's sobering, and it is, and it should be. So there is a belief, but there's more to it as we see than that. The plan keeps going on. Hebrews chapter 11. This is obviously where faith is defined. So let's take a look at this again. Hebrews chapter 11. And break it down a little bit. Now, once again, for years, we know this, gone through it. But let's take a look at it again and analyze the words that are spoken here. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's, when you say substance is something, isn't it? I'm thinking like a big glob of Play-Doh or something. You know, you get that in your hand, you go, that's substance, isn't it? That's not nothing, that's something. You can mold it, you can do something with it. There's substance there. I can, something, give me something people would say I could put my hands on. I need something I can get my hands on. I can't get my hands on that. You know, that's so frustrating. This whole pandemic that we've been under, can't get my hands on it. It's elusive. Some say it's this, some say it's that. I can't put my hands on it. I think I know certain things about it. But if I told those to you, you might go, well, I don't agree with that. I know we're going to sometimes disagree with some of these things. We're not going to all be on the same page because it's elusive. What is the truth on this? Where is it? And sometimes it takes a while before you find it out. They would say, you know something, after all these years, you know the one guy that apologized some years later was that he was a doctor and he taught about not spanking children. Didn't this go back to the 60s or something? He wrote a whole book on it. So people follow that pattern. What happened to our kids? At least the ones that aren't in the Church of God. Well, sometimes even them. You know, it used to be just, it was, this is the way it was, that you had your children under control. Man, you had this right. And not for everybody, because that was a challenge. It's hard for people, but that's how we've learned to be patient, kind, persevering, praying for others instead of judging them. I've come a long way with that too. But, you know, this guy apologized later on. He goes, I blew it. I got the wrong research here. So now evidently we're in the age 2020. Nobody's wrong anymore. Unless 20 years down the road, we're going to go, you know what we did back then? We totally messed up there. We closed businesses down. We shot the economy. Who knows? But we do have substance in what God says. The evidence of things not seen. See, words are not substance. Words are not substance. But actions are. Words aren't substance. Actions are. God says, don't commit adultery. That's not really substance. It's words. The actions speak loudly. I don't commit adultery. We don't do that. That's not even, doesn't even enter into my mind. No chance would I do that. You know, my dad spoke to me one time and said, you know, as a salesperson, he goes, the opportunities that availed me sometimes when somebody would answer their door and kind of give you a lure. He was not, and my dad wasn't even in the church, but he thought about it. He goes, if I ever made that step, he realized what it would cost him. The thought of what it would cost him to make a mistake like that. I'm so glad that he was thinking that way. And if more would think that way, they probably wouldn't fall into that trap, would they? Substance. Hypostasis. I'm sorry, not hypostasis. That was the other word that got people in trouble a long time ago in Hebrews, as far as dealing with the nature of God. This is hypostasis. This is the word substance in the Greek. It means a setting under, a foundation, a reality. I like that word. That's the reality. Not dream world that some people are in. Thinking that they can have their expensive Cadillacs and end up paying for it in the long run, going into debt. That's not reality. The steadiness of mind. That's another good definition. A confidence, the assurance. And the Greek word for evidence is called elegos, E-L-E-G-C-H-O-S, evidence, elegos, meaning proof or conviction. So you can see if you substitute those in Hebrews 11, now faith is the confidence or assurance, the foundation of things hoped for, the evidence, the proof, or the conviction of things not seen. Do you question the validity of God the Father and Jesus Christ? I think anyone here will kind of, that's pretty much a no-brainer. Is it? I would think it is. I would think everybody here has a foundation. This is the Church of God Worldwide Association. One of our basic foundations is the nature of God. That there's a Father in heaven, that there's Jesus Christ, and it's the Holy Spirit by the power which He accomplishes everything that He does. And then we learn more about that. Verse 2 then, for by faith the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. There's someone that does a comedic routine on this. He speaks of, it takes faith to believe in atheism, to be an atheist. It takes faith to be an atheist. To think that all of a sudden somehow this nation can go, this whole universe can go pow like that. I'd say I don't buy that. Because why don't I buy that? I'll tell you what, I possibly could be wrong. Maybe that's how God did it. He just did pow like this, or pow like that, or made some kind of noise, and just the universe just did that. And everything came into being. Well, you read the whole Bible, I don't see that's the way God works. Because when he did the original creation, he didn't go pow, bam, lightning, and then there's a guy. Pow, zoom, and there's a fish. How did that come into play, though? How did that, you know, because all of a sudden things that didn't exist existed. And then we can watch the identity, which is so neat to watch how he does it and the different ways that he does it. That he puts it into the nature of a salmon to swim upstream, to spawn, and then die. If I've got a half a brain of a salmon, I'm not going up there. I know what happens. I get to spawn, but then I'm dead. I'm bear meat. So all the things that he does. And the one I like to share too, because one day I look forward to finding out how long it took, because when there's no time frame, okay, just give me something to understand there is a progression in how you created everything. And you said, who's the one that did, were the angels involved? Could they shoot out ideas? I know God created everything, but where'd the ideas come from? Where did you go, a maple tree, and we're going to get sap, and it's going to produce a great tasting syrup. Now man's going to have to do some work and refine it. So he had to use his brain to learn and did this. And then I'm going to do a pine tree. You can't do the same. Well, look, there's a tree over there. It's drawing sap, and we're going to do the same thing. This tastes lousy. Nobody gets paint off your hand really good until the guy that developed paint. And so you get all these creations by God that are incredibly fascinating. All the different plants and animals. How'd you do that? We understand. We believe that. But the evidence is there. The evidence of God's creation. Not some kind of bang and then it's all there. Not some kind of evolutionary theory. I took exception the other day when I was watching Planet Earth and I saw orangutan, and the guy said, this is our, we're one of his descendants. I went, not mine. He might be yours, but it's not mine. See, even the smartest people will buy the merchandising. Are you kidding me? That's a descendant, huh? That fascinates me. That man's not smarter than that, but that's how powerful Satan is. This is faith. We've got a basic faith in these things. What about in the others as well? See, the world says there must be some physical explanation for the origin of the universe, something concrete, something that can be seen. But the word of God says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. Romans 1 verse 18. Romans chapter 1 verse 18. See, the truth, even today, even I do, knowing the nature of man, believe that a lot of truth is being suppressed, even in this pandemic. Why do I believe that? Because I don't trust man. And I know there's a lot of money out there that's involved with a lot of these things. And it's dangerous when man gets involved with these things and starts to make statutes and laws based on the ideas and concepts and greedy people. I know that that's out there too. Now, I realize also, see, you get on one end that people that will buy everything, and you get a conspiracy on the other hand that everything that the government does is conspiracy. And I'll just say to them, be at peace, because the biggest conspirator out there is called Satan the devil, and God's got a handle on everything. And he knows every conspiracy that's out there, everything that's going on. And some people let that affect them to the point that become ineffective and being able to help other people because they're passing on all of their conspiracies. And I know that they're out there. I don't know. I just don't have time to delve into which one is, because there's not enough information sometimes. You got to believe it because somebody says it. And it might seem to be, but not always. There's just no time for that. So I got to go back to trusting in God. To say, God, this is taking place. I know that you're going to have to take care of it. And thankfully, this is the great part about it. Whatever the voting systems is, or the way that we do it, or whatever, it says God is the one that puts these leaders in positions. He's the one that's in control of this. Good enough for me. I might not like the leader, but God, you're the one that puts him in. Understand that. So what do I have to do now? What? I got to pray for this person? I forgot about that. Did you forget about that? You might not like the new people or new person that came in. You might think that there is some kind of conspiracy or undermining going on. Whatever happens, I got to pray for him? Should you have to say, I have to pray for him? Should you have to say, I have to pray for him? Or do we do it willingly? Because it's a possibility that our prayers could change the direction. And they have before. Prayers of many people have changed directions in so many different ways. I remember seeing the movie Apollo 13. You know, basically when that spacecraft got stranded, there was much of the world that was watching and praying for these guys. And when you see what happened, what took place for them to get back, really required a miracle. When they said what they said, whether they were stretching it or not, I mean, it took basically this small, tiny little window. It was a needle in a haystack type thing for them to get back because of the window. And they had a slide rule to do the numbers. That was another fascinating thing. They were freezing and needing a slide rule to figure the approach that they were going to use to get back. Do you think God was involved with that? I believe so. Absolutely. I believe that God, without God's intervention, we wouldn't be at some of the places we were, because we were not supposed to win certain wars. So that's where he is with these things. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Because that which being made known of God is known to them. God's revealed it to them. Well, how? The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that exist, such as family, the concept of family. Well, Satan's really done a good job at subverting that, hasn't he? Because how can you have a guy marrying a guy and have a family? You got to get it from somebody. But that truth has been suppressed by smart people. And sometimes this life goes by so fast, we forget that, and it slowly kind of creeps in. And it starts affecting us in ways that we don't see sometimes. They're clearly seeing, being understood by the things that exist, his eternal power and Godhead. So they're without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, because they want to bring him down to the human level. So, you know, that affects some people, you know how? Important part about what we do today is we know that this day is what? This is, if you really broke this down, take one example. This is the Sabbath day. Why do we come here? Now, the standard answer might be because God commands it. Okay, let's take it farther than that. Why do we come here? What's the purpose? Why do we go to the Feast of Tabernacles? Because God says to. That's right. Why? Simple. It's really a simple answer. To worship God, to acknowledge him as the supreme creator of this universe. If we didn't do that, we'd start to bring him down to that level. We come here to worship God. And it's reflective sometimes in the way that we might dress. Do you notice that? Sometimes people just come as you are. The mindset, come as you are. That's why leadership clubs and other things to bring us up. You know, the colleges that we used to have, we're sharpening. It used to be said, wear your best. You know, do your best. You have people out, present the best that you've got. Everything you do, what does it say? Ecclesiastes 9:10, with all your might. And that starts to slack after a while. And so we need each other to build each other up, to encourage each other. Iron sharpens iron. Sabbath day. Be mindful of who we're worshiping. How we dress, how we come before God. The offering reminders, we all know the chapters and all that. The offering reminders, did I think about this? It's such a personal thing that I love because it's so personal. Between you and God. But it takes thought, it takes effort. We can easily write a check out, put some money in an envelope, or we can actually do and think about what God has given to us. And along with it comes a blessing. Because your mind kind of goes, I am thankful before God. He has blessed me with so much. I'm going so fast, I forget to thank God sometimes. That's part of the faith element. It says, they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And that's what you have today, a lot of foolish people. And when Christ returns, the foolishness stops. And we're going to be able to help people kind of easily because we've been skilled and trained in doing so. Our answers won't be vague. They'll be to the point. They'll be helping people to understand just like we're learning as well. Verse 25, it says, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creation rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. He ends it with, so be it. That's the way it is. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, and here's the point today. And I'll close with this one today. Besides a reference to a scripture. Ephesians chapter 14. The purpose today is to hopefully help us to reflect on where each of our faith is individually and even collectively. You know, certainly people can come to church. Many people may choose a church that's good socially. You know, and we did have a lot of things, if you remember before, that was pretty much a pull for some. We had lots of different programs, youth programs, choirs, spokesman's clubs. We had youth lessons. And we're getting back to that point almost today. I mean, look at all the things that we have access to. You go to Life, Hope, and Truth. You go to, we've got a Bible study out now. We have so many things. I bet you all can't keep up with everything, can you? Have you read every booklet, done every Bible study, watched every FI series? There's so much that's out there. But it can all of a sudden start to become cozy. It's getting comfortable here. Things have gone on pretty good. And I have a feeling that God's not going to let that happen. It'll stir us up to make sure we are alert and watching what's going on around us. Ephesians 3 verse 14, Paul says, for this cause, for this reason, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in earth, heaven and earth is named. So yes, this is critical about family. And we realize the importance of that. Within our own families, we get very close to, but this is the greater church family. And we're to love each other, by the way, as we love our own family. That's the love that we're supposed to have for each other. And you even know within the families, the troubles that we have, siblings, that goes all the way back to the very beginning. You know, if you get siblings that get along as well, I'm grateful that my kids get along very well, but sometimes you get this. And there's that, and sometimes it happens, and sometimes that happens within the church family as well. And we pray through faith that God would strengthen us and guide us through the words that He talks about as far as how to handle different situations, that we can grow and be at peace with each other. That's a faith out, that's believing God for what He says. Verse 16. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened by might, by His Spirit in the inner man, to be strengthened, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height. What, in other words, what this is all about. See, a concept like that was given, even to understand our age, is worthy of consideration to think, what am I thinking? Have I gotten irritated? That was interesting. Yeah, I've got irritated at times. I can't believe I got to sign up for Medicare next year. Me? I'm not that old. Wait a second. And I realize kids are out of the house. This has gone by way. This is so unfair. This is just not fair. Bam, it's just like that. That's why I'll tell some of the young people, will you buy that life goes by really quick? Nah, it's going pretty good. Now, maybe you do. Maybe it is. It does go by quick. Because I look at some of the older people, one here that used to be my accounting teacher. He was really young. He still is. But it goes by so quick. Understanding the breadth and the length and the depth. So it can actually be exciting to get older. That's fine. Because, you know, what's the next step anyway? It's everything that we believe, the very kingdom of God. You can't beat that, can you? Understanding that. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. And now we ask Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us and the faith, unto Him be glory in the church, through Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. That's the way it is. And nobody can change that. And no one except for Satan, who tries to change it, the understanding can take that away from you or I as well. You know, Christ had mentioned, if you remember the parable of the unjust judge, he said the unjust judge, after much appeal, just said, give it to her. She's wearing me out. And Christ said, look at what the unjust judge says. If he does that, if the unjust judge does that, what about the judge says? What about who the just judge says? The just judge says, you ask what you will, and I'll give it to you. Do you believe it? And so he says, it ends by saying, will he find that kind of faith when he returns? That's the question. So that question deserves the approach of asking, where are we today? Because I will tell you that Satan's done his damage. And we have to acknowledge and find out, where are we at with that? We need to be growing and learning in faith. And that's just going to strengthen not only yourself, but everybody else that you rub shoulders with, that people can see what you believe and what you trust in and who you trust in and everything that we endure and go through, whether it's masks or the harder things that will come. Will he find that faith? I pray and hope that he does. But let's pray that God will strengthen us and increase our faith.